guys. It's Lavetta.
And it's Miriam.
And this is the Notorious Women podcast, a comedy podcast about some of history's most notorious women.
Yes, yes.
Yes. We are back for another week to give you some laughs, hopefully. There's a lot going on as we're taping this.
Yes.
Stuff that's not laughable, but that's what we're here for, because we need to put a comedic spin on it. You know, not apparently. So the trailer came out for the animated version of Good Times.
Oh, my God. I saw it.
And people are not happy. And then I saw someone remind people that even when Good Times was on, people thought it was stereotypical. And that's one of the reasons that actually the guy played John Amos, the great John Amos, who played the father, he left the show over those differences because he thought it was becoming more of like some coonery, some like, especially the JJ character with the dynamite.
I mean, kind of.
Yeah.
I was a kid. So. I was dumb. I loved it.
I did not, you know, because obviously when we were watching it, it was, you know, in syndication and shows like that. But like, I remember thinking, I preferred like other shows that were in syndication, like The Jeffersons or like,
yeah, you know,
obviously shows of our childhood, like Martin and stuff like that. But which is a little stereotypical as well, but like, you know, or The Fresh Prince or something like that. But I remember thinking like, how come they never go get out of the ghetto? Like they never have no good times. Like, it's just like, they never have good times. Like, when they get close to getting out of the ghetto, then I remember Thelma, the sister, who I thought was so beautiful. She's so beautiful. She met the football player.
Okay.
So he was about to move them out, and then he got hurt, and then he moved into the projects with them. And I'm like, this is a terror. Like, they never can catch a break. So... but apparently this animated thing, I haven't even looked at the trailer. I'm sure it's problematic. And I love Seth MacFarlane. Like, I love Family Guy is my jam. But like, usually when you're dealing with something that's culturally sensitive,
you should probably
throw a white dude in.
Yeah.
And I know Steph Curry's name is on it, but it's like, he probably thought, oh, I'll let the professionals do it. Because I mean, Steph Curry plays basketball.
Is a basketball player. So, and I like him a lot.
Yeah, I love Steph Curry. And he probably came on board because he probably likes Good Times. He has fond memories like you. Like, and most of us have made peace with it. Like, I always love Michael because Michael's me, like the nerdy black kid.
Yes.
And I thought he was so cute. And JJ's character is fun. Like, I mean, I'm not one of those black people who are like, oh, everything is problematic. And like, because I can enjoy something that's of its time. You know, if we were making, and I think that's the point a lot of people are making online. If you're going to reboot it, like,
Lavetta,
improve it.
I hear you. Like, but I will say this. The movie that I watch every year around Christmas that I adore, It's a Wonderful Life. I love it.
That's a dark movie.
It is a dark movie. But you know what? Mr. Potter, Pottersville, we hate Mr. He's Jewish. If you He has a menorah on a table. He has a mezuzah on the... Like, he's Jewish. But it's like, well...
Oh, so there's some anti-Semitism that slipped in there you don't really realize. You're like,
understand the meaning of Christmas?
Here?
And we know why. You know, like...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So. I mean, those old movies, that's why I think people are like looking at it like, you know, they examine them through our lens today. But it's like... Looking at something like the 90s, even the 90s.
Oh,
were
the 90s are
problematic.
Super problematic.
And they're a lot closer than these old movies.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're not loving movies with blackface in them. Like,
yeah,
we're
just not do that.
But Gone with the Wind, white people love Gone with the Wind.
Okay, not one of those white people.
And I love me some Miss Hattie McDaniel. She was doing the best she could with what she had. And she brought some kind of dignity to that role. And the black people at the time loved her. They did not look down on her for taking that job. They were very proud of her, as am I. I love me some Hattie McDaniel. But I can't watch.
I was uncomfortable in high school because I just remember being like, are we like sad that the plantation has burned down? Is that what I'm supposed to feel right now? I'm just, someone help me. I don't think I'm watching this right. That's how I felt. You know, I'm like, didn't they have slaves on that plantation?
That is so true.
Right?
It's like, They're trying to get you to be sad that the plantation burned down. I'd never go hung. Again, the only Scarlett O'Hara I love is the Carol Burnett one.
Yes.
Y'all need to look it up because Miss Carol Burnett is a genius.
If you're not wearing a curtain rod, I don't want to hear your tears.
Tweet-a-doo, I declare.
Man, I have to say that again. We should probably get started.
Yeah, let's get started. So I am first this week. Oh. It's so funny, keeping in theme with last week's episode. And I know some of y'all come at me about Kate, but again, we are so happy that Kate is fine. Yeah. She's not fine. She's battling cancer, but you know, I have my own issues with Kate and Will's. And hopefully you guys have checked out that wonderful Netflix show called The Windsors, because it is hilarious. So keeping in theme with that, you know, like with basically like celebrity reporting, because that's basically what it is. And I think one of the reasons that one of the issues that came up with that whole Kate and reporting on it is that the royal family doesn't realize that we live in the modern world where we have social media.
Right.
And, you know,
the tactics that worked even 10 years ago.
Yeah.
People are no longer because work. People have nothing else to do but become internet detectives. And that's like what is what it is. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying that that's the world we live in.
Because so, things will trend that shouldn't be trending. Oh, and then 100. Things will trend like we think of like the Britney thing, you know, conservative ship, all of that stuff more recently with Wendy Williams, you know. So in keeping in that theme, I have this idea now about like who around that kind of like falls into like this category, but that someone that'd be fun and someone that people don't really know a lot about, I think might be fun. So my notorious woman this week is Megan Cunniff, a.k.a. Megan the Reporter. Do you know who that is?
Not glue, no.
Oh, great. So this is going to be fun.
Okay.
Okay, so let me get into it. So I don't know a lot about her. I couldn't find a lot about like her personal thing. And it's because she's currently working now and she's very popular. And I'll get into that a little bit.
Okay.
But so I don't know a lot about her, like, you know, where she was born or what have you. But because I think she's probably keeping that on the wraps because she's like, it's none of our business.
Fair.
And as a reporter, an actually trained journalist, they have learned not to become the story. That's like journalism 101,
which is
right?
funny because she is kind of our story today. Let me just right.
But she is spoiler alert. She is a heroic, notorious woman, and I love her.
Okay,
I'm a big fan. So okay, so Megan Cunniff is a legal affairs journalist and reporter based in Southern California.
Okay.
After graduating from the University of Oregon, she worked at the Spokesman Review in Spokane, Washington, and then the Idaho Statesman in Boise, Idaho, before moving to California in 2013 to work at the Orange County Register. So basically, she would report on things sort of like trade. She would work for like trade publications. She covers legal affairs. Again, she's a reporter, journalist for legal affairs.
Okay.
So it's kind of like boring kind of stuff and like, you know, what you would expect. And she definitely looks the part. She has like glasses and she has like a part down the middle. She's just kind of like a little bob and like she's just a regular lady doing her job. Right.
Okay.
She looks like she was a nerd as a kid and she's still a nerd. And we love nerds here because
yes,
you and I
do.
Are both nerds as well. Now, on her website, she writes of herself, quote, "I am a legal affairs reporter with an accomplished history of breaking news, investigations, long form narratives and memorable trial coverage.
Okay.
I helped pioneer the use of Twitter to cover trials as a reporter at the Spokesman Review in Spokane.
Wow.
In 2008. And my coverage for Law and Crime News of rapper Tory Lanez, December 22nd, 2022 trial for shooting Megan Thee Stallion earned national attention, as did my independent coverage of his post-conviction proceedings and sentencing. She's been covered by GQ and the 19th News organization, which both featured her.
Okay.
She was also profiled by the Washington Post, who called her, quote, arguably the most influential legal journalist working today, end quote.
Wow.
Okay. And she's been like, also, she's especially known in the hip hop music world because of the Megan Thee Stallion, yeah, Tory Lanez trial coverage. And she's been interviewed by websites XXL and Hot New Hip Hop and the wildly popular No Jumper and DJ Vlad channels, YouTube channels.
Okay.
Now, so that's kind of like the lay of the land of CUNY, of Megan. Does that sound a little bit more familiar?
Yes.
To you?
Yes. Okay. I still don't know anything about her.
Okay. So she's basically went to college. It's like, I want to get into journalism, studied that, graduated, started her professional career, kind of boring kind of stuff, but interesting to her.
Right.
But then once she moved to LA and she's just down at the courthouse covering what's going on for her, her job. And because I think she was unaware, because she's a nerd and a normal person, unaware of like how popular her coverage was becoming of the trial.
Was her coverage through the Orange County Register?
No. So okay, what she did was she would link up with them to report on it, because unfortunately a lot of newspapers staff have been cut recently.
Yeah.
Traditional media is suffering a lot. So reporters such as her have to figure out ways to, you know, they're always trying to figure out ways to raise their profile, but be effective in their jobs. Right.
Like, as someone who grew up in Orange County, wow, Orange County Register, really? We're going to pay to promote what's happening?
No, she basically was just covering it.
That makes more sense.
No. She was covering it. Okay. She's hired by someone else, but she's covering basically, you know, to give us the local news. But having moved here in LA, a lot of the legal stuff is celebrity based.
That is true.
Especially post OJ.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of the 90s, right? Mm-hmm. So a little bit of a timeline how she got in this, because like I said, she just went to college, graduated, and then you know, not only are you trying to, and as a journalist, they're always trying to find, we know this from the great Nellie Bly, who we will cover one day on here, but you guys should look her up, about you need to raise your profile, but you also want to bring awareness to what you're covering, right?
Right.
Because it's one thing to report on it, but you want people to know about it. So how do you do that? You have to get it in this social media age. You have to really court that and become sophisticated in how you market yourself as well.
Yeah.
So like I said, she's been here since 2013, just covering, you know, normal trials, sort of like basic local corruption, you know, whatever's going on, whatever her boss thinks, oh, would be maybe something people need to know about it to inform the public. That is a journalist's job, to inform the public, yeah, right? Give them the facts, what's going on. So, but she kind of got into the celebrity sphere in August of 2022, so okay, pretty recent,
right,
when Vanessa Bryant, Kobe Bryant's widow, sued LA County, where, because remember when Kobe and his daughter, yes, were killed along with other people in this helicopter accident, they took, like, the cops and people took like photos of them instead of, like, you know, I know that maybe they had determined that they were deceased, but I don't know the particular details of it, because I just find it, when a child's involved also, it's very hard for me. And poor, yes, Vanessa Bryant just had, ugh, to like deal with this. She lost not only her baby, she lost her husband. Like, it's just terrible, all in one fell swoop. And then to have them come in and then these photos to be leaked and that kind of thing. Yeah. So Vanessa's like, I'm getting in that ass. So Vanessa Bryant sued LA County because, good, she felt like they mishandled it, and they traced it back because she got coin. So, good, her investigators traced it back that apparently people who work for the county were also taking pictures.
Ooh.
Yeah. So the first time that
there's like laws.
Oh, go ahead.
There's like laws about this, right?
I don't know if there's laws, but I think this is just in bad taste. If you want to know more about it, go back and look up Megan Cuniff's coverage on it, because I'm sure she's very thorough.
Okay.
You know, and we know that Vanessa Bryant won
her
case,
yes,
her suit. Now, like I said before, mainly before that, before the Vanessa Bryant. So her time when she moved here in 2013 to basically 9 years, she covered mainly just the news for trade publications. For instance, she also covered for this is what she would cover before the celebrity stuff. And I think she still covers the non-celebrity stuff. But so there was a Mongols motorcycle trial.
What's
where
that?
A federal jury convicted 6 Tennessee men for racketeering, conspiracy, and other charges involving murder, kidnapping, drug trafficking, all stemming from their involvement with the Clarksville County of the Mongols Motor Club,
what?
Motorcycle Club.
Oh, my God.
And Jesse Ventura apparently testified in this trial.
What?
Because he used to be a member of the it's basically Sons of Anarchy. Like he used to be a member of this club, and he said it was a great transition between military life and civilian life for him. So that was the first time she ever covered a trial that had a famous person associated with it, and a famous person actually testified in court. So, and that was, look that up. I had never heard of it, but it's Mongols motorcycle trial.
Listen, Jesse Ventura was just in a crossword puzzle that I finished. And that is as far as I've gotten with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and she also covered the Cardi B trial. It was like a ridiculous, when you get really famous and successful, if people start suing you for bullshit, then you know you really made it. Cardi B was being sued by a tattoo artist who said that she reportedly misused a piece of her tattoo, aka his art, for her album cover. But it's on her body.
But it's like, on what? Her body.
So
and
she
way
covered
to like
that.
Not like way to like not you know you could be like I'll do another tattoo for you baby it's $1,000 and she'll be like here's like $1,500 I have so much money now she's never gonna go back to you and nobody's gonna go to you like not one celebrity will trust you that's like a bad choice
that's a bad people aren't thinking sometimes when they're thinking oh I could sue for $2 million and I could retire, you know, that's what they're thinking.
Actually,
so.
In this day and age, like you can't retire well. I'm sorry, but everything's $1 million. Do you know that chocolate eggs are like $7? Okay, I'm fine if you're asking.
No, you can live off of this if you move to Alabama, move to a state you don't really want to live in. You can live fine on that if you spend your money right. But
and you can't live in the city. I'm just saying.
No.
Like you go to Alabama, but you better live in the sticks. And then you can have a really big house. Buy it outright.
Yeah. Yep. You can do that. You can still do that in a lot of parts of America. But so again, Megan, she had been working for a couple places, but she was working for the Daily Journal.
Okay.
And when she was covering the Weinstein trial here in LA, because remember, Weinstein was convicted in New York and here.
Yep.
And he had trials here. And then Danny Masterson. From that 70s show. So, you know, and again, you want to cover stuff that people are going to be interested in, that people will, you know, read up on. And so, but it's so funny because she was saying that her boss is an older kind of like stereotypical curmudgeon newspaper guy, you know, old school. And he, when she would be tweeting in the courtroom, he would like call and yell at her. So, but she's like, we have to innovate. Like, we have to use social media.
Yeah.
That's how we get, you know, stuff out. But so that's been a trial, but that's been like a transition for her employers. But the big one came and what made her become notorious and also really upped her public profile was the Tory Lanez trial, where eventually, spoiler alert, he was found guilty in December of 2022 of 3 felonies, including assault with a semi-automatic firearm, having a loaded and unregistered firearm in a vehicle, and discharging a firearm with gross negligence as it relates to the shooting of superstar rapper Megan Thee Stallion. And so what made her so popular? And this is why you can't really predict trying to go viral. And like, it really has to happen organically. Here she was just, you know, she's like, well, I was at the courthouse and then this was going on. So I was like, well, let me just sit in and see what's going on so I can report this. And she didn't, because again, we've established she had already started covering a couple celebrity kind of things. So she had no idea, right? But because around the Megan Thee Stallion, it was really, the trial was about Tory Lane. So around that trial, a lot of the, because it was hip hop based, a lot of it was Megan hate, a lot of it was bias, a lot of the reporting online were from basically entertainment blogs and gossip blogs and not like stuff based in, you know, journalistic approaches
or integrity,
even like double checking. Like journalists have they have protocols, they have steps that they have to take. They have to hear something and then they have to get it
verified
more than from just one source. So they have to confirm and verify multiple times, right, to make sure something is true. But she was actually in the courtroom and she's a legal journalist and reporter. So she understands what they're saying when they do it and like what the protocols are. And so she was actually in the courtroom. So when she was reporting facts and what was actually happening versus the entertainment blogs who were very biased against Megan and frankly, just very misogynistic. You know, sort of like, why is this black woman, you know, trying to take down this black man? And then also she was the one of the first people to report that Lane's actually got rid of his first attorney and it was a woman, it was a black woman, excuse me, who didn't want to say use the tactic or the point that it was Megan's friend, a woman named Kelsey, who was in the car with Tory and Megan when this happened, along with his driver. When this happened, they were going to try and put blame on Kelsey. To just sort of like confuse the jury, saying that she's the one that shot Megan. And so Megan Cuniff was, again, in the courtroom. And so she's hearing this, that, you know, that prosecutors have introduced this into evidence. So she's basically reporting the facts. And so because of that, people who wanted to actually get the facts and know what was actually going on, they, like, for instance, case in point, on one of these blogs. So during the trial, they had ballistics came back. Ballistics is about firearms and who da da da. And like, so on these blogs, they were reporting that, oh, they didn't even find Tory's hand fingerprints on the gun. That's what they were reporting.
What?
She comes back and she's like, actually, no, this is how usually ballistics works. And she would be like, well, they found they found partial prints of his. They found over 45 different prints. They found da da da. And this is what the actual ballistics report said, that it was inconclusive because of this and da 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 da. So she would come back with the actual details, right? Whereas online, they were like, see, his hands weren't even, they trying to railroad him. His fingerprints weren't even on the gun. Da 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 da. Or reporting that, see, Kelsey's hand fingerprints was the only one on the gun. And da 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 da. Like, so they're just misreporting based on what
they want,
because they're trying to get clicks, because that's how they make money. So they want people to click,
and they're not half of these people aren't actual reporters.
Journalists.
And if you want to sue them, they're like, I'm entertainment.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. So again, that's why her coverage stood out, because you're like, oh, if I want to know actually what went on in the court today, let me go to and follow Megan Cuniff's profile on Twitter, IG, whatever, YouTube. And she said that basically she provided something that was much needed in that moment, because we were all, and I think she was surprised at how big of a case it was, because it was her first big sort of, not high profile, because obviously Kobe Bryant is a legend, but it was the first time where she got so much like engagement and like people actually reading. So of course her boss is smart. It's like, well, keep doing it. Like, and also just finish it to the end.
Yeah.
And again, she, during this trial, she became the go-to journalist when it came to all things Tory Lane's trial.
Wow.
And because of this, and it was it involved Megan Thee Stallion, rapper extraordinaire, she became affectionately known as Megan the Reporter.
Yes.
Even though she spells her name slightly different.
It's so funny because like as you're telling me this, I'm like, oh yeah, I've seen her name. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I know about this. But it was like well in the back of my brain because I did talk about how spring break will last forever and my brain doesn't, you know, there's only so much. But
come back. She's
awesome.
I mean, she went from having probably, I think maybe a couple hundred, maybe a thousand followers to like 60,000 followers over like in a matter of weeks.
Wow.
And also what was so interesting about her is that her reporting highlighted the actual need for actual journalistic approaches to even celebrity trials. You know, most people don't get the OJ treatment where it was on like 24/7 and people went in and on CNN and da, da, da. And so because, you know, again, a lot of these news, even just local news, but also even at the national level, they've suffered from staff cuts, you know, funding taken away or funding being cut. And so, you know, when we are still trying to get news, we want to get the facts, just the facts, right? Just facts, folks. So she became notorious in a good way because she actually provided an avenue where people can get actual journalism. And then she became notorious to the misogynist who would be like, well, who? And then this is where they actually play the race card. A lot of these, even though a lot of these outlets, a lot of these hip hop things are not owned by Black people, but they'd be like, so why y'all gonna listen to this white lady? And then, and it's like, we don't care if she white, Black, Asian, we don't care. She is bringing the facts.
Yep.
She's actually in the courtroom.
Yeah.
And most people just want the facts when it comes to news.
Yes. Come on.
Yeah. And also she highlighted that their reporting was misogynistic and biased.
Yes.
Bias leaning. So again, she reported the facts. And also because it became around like, basically this man shot this woman and he shot a woman who's a symbol of like, you know, female sexual empowerment, you know, confidence. And it's so funny because Megan Thee Stallion, I think she's like 5'10 or 5'11. And I think she's like 5'10. And Tory Lanez is like 5'6 or 7 or something.
Oh, Tory.
So it's like, oh, this little guy, he might be even shorter than that. But like, it was just a pure act of, in the moment, of misogyny.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
Point blank, period. And here we are. She also reported, like, again, Megan, the reporter, also reported how, like, again, his lawyer seemed to be not taking, like, putting all their eggs in one basket on a defense that they were really hoping. And she also thinks that his lawyers, as well as he, were heavily influenced by the blogs and the court of public opinion.
Yeah.
Versus the actual facts in the courtroom. That is what people are convicted on or acquitted on.
That's
so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And she was watching the jury.
I love her. We need her more. We need more. We need more of her, and we need her more.
Yep. And so when the verdict came in guilty, she was there again to, you can go to her YouTube channel. She was interviewed. She was there to give context as to why. And even it's so funny because from her reporting, if you were actually following and listening to her, she was like, yeah, his defense is not going well. She's just like, I don't think that they realize, like, you know, because case in point, right? So she was saying when she was covering it, she remembers going across the street and from the courthouse and like getting something to eat or whatever.
Okay.
And she was talking to somebody very young behind the counter, and they were like shocked. They were like, well, Megan didn't get shot by Tory. It was glass. And she was like, who told you that? And this person's like, well, that's what they're saying online. She's like, no, I'm looking at the ballistics report. I'm listening to them testify. I'm looking at the pictures of her feet.
Yeah.
That have been shot. Like there's bullet fragments. Like, again, the facts. She's like, of course she was shot. Like, I can't believe that's up for debate. So again, when the verdict came down, she wasn't really surprised, you know, because she was just like, I've been there the whole time. A lot of people online were surprised because they weren't real. They weren't doing actual reporting. They didn't send anybody. I think they probably were paying people who were nearby and maybe got news, but they weren't sending people to sit in the courtroom to report on what's happening.
This is why social media needs to, like, just take a step back. Just take a step back. Like, if you're not in the room, like, maybe you don't need to, like, die on that hill. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's a lot of, like, dying on hills based on, like random shit on YouTube. Come on, man.
Yeah, it's just be like, my bad, I didn't know. Yeah, it happened to me the other day. I responded to this lady on Twitter because she was... And she was like, well, I'm da 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 da. And I was like, oh, I didn't realize that. My bad. Apologies. And then I logged off.
It's done.
Like, it's okay to be wrong. Yep.
Done.
Right? So
let's learn.
So again, when that let's learn. So again, when the verdict came in, she wasn't really surprised. And a funny side note, funny side note. So again, she had gained popularity, which Tory Lanez himself was aware of because he's following people online and, you know, during the trial and all those and he's following people online. So in the final moments during the trial, he referred to her as a, quote, googly eyed bitch, end quote. Because like I said, she has like glasses and like.
Did you just like basically call her a nerd? I mean, basically it was like you were like in high school.
Yeah.
You're like a sophomore and she's a senior and you don't know what else to say. Okay.
Yeah. And I mean, it just drives home the misogyny around their approach, his approach and his attitude. And I will say, by the way, before I go on, when this happened, when he shot her, Megan didn't say anything publicly. Because she's like, I'm from the hood. We don't snitch. I'm not going to say anything, you know. And then afterwards, after the trial, they actually released an audio of him and Kelsey actually talking and him asking Kelsey, oh, she's never going to forgive me, da da da, basically admitting to it, right? Whereas the whole time they were like, he didn't say anything, he didn't, and all this other stuff. So, but Megan didn't say anything. Megan Thee Stallion didn't say anything. He then, I don't know if he was hyped up by his guys, his friends, started
his drugs,
like, ridiculing her in public and then spreading the lies that it was glass, that she wasn't shot and all this stuff. And Megan didn't say anything. And then she finally came out and be like, that motherfucker shot me. Like, I wasn't going to say anything. I was going to let it go. And because he kept egging her on and trying to humiliate her.
Okay, babe.
That's when law enforcement. So again, let's be clear. Megan Thee Stallion did not take him to court. LA County took him to court.
Oh.
The city of Los Angeles, because he's a nuisance because he fired a firearm in public.
Can I just say, all hail the googly-eyed bitches. That's what I have to say about that.
All hail googly-eyed bitches. You know why I love Megan the reporter so much?
Tell me.
It's because of that. She just shrugged it off, you know, and she a bad bitch. So she created merch that says googly eyes.
We need that merch. I need that merch.
Yes. So if you want to find that merch, you can go to her webpage. She has a website called MeganCuniff.com. And Megan is spelled MeganCuniff.com. You can also find her on all her socials at Megan Cuniff or at LegalAffairsAndTrials.com.
Amazing.
Now, since the Megan, because like I said, the Megan Thee Stallion, Tory Lanez trial is the thing that really catapulted her to the mainstream. And so she's has been the go-to, at least for me and for a lot of people, of like this kind of hip-hop inspired kind of trial. So she's covered the ASAP Rocky first degree assault trial.
Okay.
And it's so funny because during the trial, he came up to her to shake her hand, actually, ASAP Rocky himself.
He knows.
So she was just like, I saw her in my research. I watched an interview and she was like, oh my God, it was so weird. Cause she's like, that, does that mean Rihanna may know who I am?
Yes, so Megan.
She's just like, yes. But she will be clear because she's like, you have to not get too caught up in it because you still have to do your job.
Yes.
And this is what journalists do.
Yes.
But she said, I also recognize that you have to be in these social media spaces and people have to know who you are in order to be able to do your job.
Yeah.
Now, currently, she's covering rapper Young Thug's and YSL RICO trial. And of course, she's covering the P. Diddy sexual assault allegations and misconduct rumors and all that activity that's going around. Because recently, when this comes out, it'll be at least a week out, federal agents conducted simultaneous raids at P. Diddy or Diddy's various homes recently in search of purportedly materials related to the allegations of sex trafficking and other illegal activities. So, and it's so funny because I looked at some interviews with her talking about this. Again, we don't have a lot of information about that. It's still ongoing. But she was saying that, yeah, this is actually quite serious for them to conduct. It's normal to conduct simultaneous raids because the idea is that you don't want
to
give, you know,
you have to
someone
do it at the same time
in L.A. To call somebody in Miami and give them a heads up so they can remove whatever incriminating or embarrassing materials. But she's like, for them to raid, because they had to get a search warrant. So for them to raid his homes, somebody must think that there's probable cause to do it. No one has been arrested as of this week, which would be last week when you guys hear this. No one has been arrested. So let's get that clear. But this is seeming like a very serious thing. So
well,
I would recommend.
Yeah. Follow her.
Go ahead.
Follow Megan Cuniff.
Yes. Who is our notorious woman, one of our notorious women this week. But if you follow her and, you know, find her on YouTube, and because you're going to get the facts, you're going to get some context too. And she's very knowledgeable. And buy some of her merch.
Yeah.
Googly eyed bitch or googly eyes.
Listen,
like
I would be honored to be a googly eyed bitch. Honored.
So that's Megan Cuniff.
Thank you.
My notorious woman this week.
That she is amazing. My notorious woman this week. I don't know if you've heard of her. if you're listening to the podcast, you know, because it's the title of this week's episode. But Livetta, have you heard of a woman named Oprah Winfrey? Have you heard of her?
Yes, I've heard of Oprah Winfrey.
She's like, you're really going to make me answer that question.
Of course, I've heard of Oprah Winfrey.
I'm going to talk about Oprah Winfrey. Okay.
Oh, God. We're not going to have Oprah bashing, are we?
No.
Because you know I love me some Oprah.
I know
she's not perfect.
She's not perfect. But we're going to understand where she comes from. I want to kind of more talk about that.
Okay. This is going to be interesting because I know a lot about Oprah, as we all do, because of the Oprah Winfrey show that started in the 80s.
Yes.
And went through the, 25 years she was on air. So
I have it written down. Listen, here's the deal. I have so much in my notes about her. This could be a 7-part episode, but I'm not. I'm going to condense it into today. So let's see what we get. Now,
all right.
The thing about her is that she's led several lives and, you know, there's only so much time, but I would like, because she's, you know, she's in the zeitgeist right now because we talked about this earlier, but it was Ozempic. And she had the special that I watched. I watched some of it, not all of it, but I watched her part of how she talks about like where she's coming from and why she's choosing to do. And so I was like, let's get her whole story. Cause it's really interesting because she's 70 now. Right.
I know. Can you imagine? I forgot about that.
And like I talk about, I'm in my 40s. So I'm like, it's no shit decade. Right. I take no shits from anybody. Met when you get to your 70s. I mean, like, can you imagine?
Yeah, that's true. Oprah's like, fuck this. If I want to take Ozempic, you bitches.
Do what I want to do.
And she looks great. She actually doesn't look malnourished. I think she looks great.
You know, and I are very like, if you're going to do something to your body, I will support you. Like, I will also understand where you're coming from, but like, I can't, I'm not going to judge it. I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. And I think it's hard for people who don't have weight problems. I watched a special on this Ozempic stuff. It was a different thing. I think it was on ABC or whatever. But, and I hadn't even thought of it. Like, if you've never really struggled with your weight where you did everything and you still weren't able to lose weight, you don't quite understand what these people are going through. And like,
and how it is to live in a bigger body. And Oprah talked about, you know, she showed.
Yeah, and we know her struggles.
They've been very, very public.
Yep.
So let's talk about her very beginnings. So she was okay. You probably know everything I'm going to say, and like way more.
I think a lot of us will know a lot, but then some people may not. Younger people may not know this history.
Yeah. So did you know that she was christened Orpah Gayle Winfrey? I thought you would know.
Is it Orpah or Orpah?
Orpah. O-R-P-A-H. Yeah. Orpah. Because that's like a biblical figure. But everyone just kept fucking it up. So they finally just stayed with Oprah.
It's a black mom. So they're probably like, what did you say to these black people in their weird name? So it's like, actually, it's a biblical name.
Don't you white people like the Bible? I just thought.
But then they gave us Oprah. So there you go.
And we like Oprah.
Yeah. And she's so cute when she's little.
Oh, she's
so
cute. Little
baby.
But so she had a very, very rough childhood. Very rough. So she was born in, I can't say it. Can you say it? Kosciuszko, Mississippi?
Kosciuszko?
Kosciuszko?
You got to say it with a southern accent. Kosciuszko.
Kosciuszko. Wow, that was British. I don't know what just happened.
Well, they're similar sometimes.
Sometimes, right? Yeah. Her mother was a teenager. Her mother, when she had her, her name is Vernita. Her dad's name is Vernon. Her parents never married. According to Oprah, her parents had one moment under an oak tree, and thus she was born. They never had a real relationship. That was a quote I found. I'm not a historian. I thought it was interesting. Her mom, after she was born, moved north, and she was raised by her grandmother for the first 6 years.
Yeah.
It was a complicated. Her grandmother, Hattie Mae, was very, very poor. She would dress her in potato sacks. Kids made fun of her. It's very sad.
Poor little baby. But she had her grandmama.
She did. And her grandmother taught her to read before the age of three. She would take her to the local church, and she was, as a little one, was nicknamed the preacher for her ability to recite Bible verses.
Aww.
Very, very cute, very sweet. My guess is her grandma tried, but her grandma was strict, and her grandma did whoop her. And
got that switch.
And it was a children should be seen and not heard situation, which a 3-year old, like, how are you gonna?
That's old school too. That's like they were like country bumpkins, like they were in the sticks.
Yeah.
Even for southern people, like, it sounds like they're like country people.
And I think the bigger issue is that her grandfather was abusive to her grandmother. And so there was like a story where one night she woke up because she slept in the bed with her grandmother. She woke up to her grandfather trying to choke her grandmother, and she was able to knock him off, and they ran away. But then every night she had to put a chair under the door handle with like cans so that if you could hear, it would wake them up.
I hope that her grandfather, if you get to a point where a little, like the baby, as we say, the baby gotta like check you, then you're doing something wrong in your life, man.
Yeah.
The baby's like, no, grandpa, no. Like, you're doing something wrong in your life.
You fucked it like, up.
Yeah.
Because, like, grandpa. Little ones really want to look up to the older ones. Like, they, especially little, they try real hard. So if you're terrified of your grandpa, you done fucked up, grandpa.
And being judged by a little kid who's, like, afraid of you is a terrible feeling, I would imagine. Like,
Right?
Yeah. It's like you're scaring the babies. So stop it.
So when she was six, and I'm not 1,000%, I think her grandmother passed.
Oh, probably.
She went to live with her mother in an inner city neighborhood in Milwaukee. Now, her mother has been reputedly very cold to her. They have since made up in her older age, but her mother was not very maternity.
She was a teenager with a kid she didn't want. Because back then they did not let her, and I bet her grandmother's like, you are not getting an abortion. You having it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And so, you know, she goes to her mom, and apparently she arrives in Milwaukee. Her mom's staying in a boarding house, and the woman took one look at a very dark-skinned Oprah and said she cannot come in here. She has to sleep on the porch.
Well, that's the thing. Oprah's not even that. As black people, Oprah's not dark-skinned. She's not.
And the woman was black, just light-skinned.
Oh, no. A lot of that comes from that. Like, especially back then, I would imagine, what, in the 60s? Yeah, but Oprah's not, or late 50s, Oprah's not dark-skinned. She's not light-skinned. She's what we would call, like, she's definitely a brown-skinned woman, but it's weird that she would get teased for being dark-skinned because she's not dark-skinned.
I mean, but,
yeah.
I think this is from her book. She said, the woman said, I'm not going to say what the woman said. The woman's a bitch, rotten hell. Honestly, she made this six-year-old child sleep on the porch outside.
Yeah, and I don't care what complexion the child is.
I don't.
I'm not letting a child sleep out on a porch. No, I'm not doing that.
You're
a baby.
You're fucked in the head when you think that that's a reasonable thing to do. But worse is that her mom was like, okay, and allowed it to happen.
Yeah.
That's not great.
I would imagine also her mom doesn't have a lot of, she doesn't sound like she's an educated woman or like, you know.
The thing is, when you come from, my guess is
and
very
and I don't mean that as a diss.
No.
I mean like not a confident, she's a woman who, as a girl, had a baby.
Yeah.
So by the time Oprah's what, six, she's probably what, her mom's 20?
20 maybe, yeah.
That's still a child, in a lot of ways. And if you're not used to like being confident and asserting yourself, and if the woman owned the boarding house and she feels like maybe she can't really say, my child's coming in.
And also, like, if you want to look at who her father is, the father she grew up with, the one where her mother had to put a chair under the door handle to stop, you know, him from beating her in front of her child. Like, man, she did not have a lot to go on. She did not have a lot of support.
Yeah. So this is why women should be able to get abortions.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Just saying. Not that we wanted Oprah to be aborted.
No.
We love Oprah.
But
But a woman should have because I think a lot of that resentment comes from being forced to have a child you didn't want.
I mean, honestly, even if you made the choice, you're making a choice to keep, and you know you can do, you know, that makes a huge difference in a woman's psyche.
Yeah, absolutely.
So her mom was a maid. She worked very long hours. And around this time, she had also given birth to her younger half-sister, Patricia. So around a little later, she had a harder time with both kids. So she sent Oprah to live with her father in Nashville for a short period of time. While she was there, her mom actually gave birth to a third daughter. But that daughter she gave up for adoption and also named her Patricia, which I thought was interesting. Oprah found out in 2010 that she had a sister. Yeah, and met her.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
So her mom never told her that she had until...
Never told her.
Wow. Yeah. And because obviously the other sister didn't know because she probably would have contacted her in the 80s or the 90s.
She'd be like, hey, rich person, we are sisters.
Or like, also you want to find your sister. Like,
I mean,
and her being rich and Oprah is even better, but like, you just want to find your sister. Like,
right? Like, and she's so there that, you know, you'd be like, oh, I found her. She's on TV every day.
Aw, all that time they lost.
I know, right? But at least they did find each other.
Yes. That's good.
And then her mom gave birth to her little brother, Jeffrey, around the time that Oprah was moved back in with her mom. So that's kind of what happened. It feels a little messy.
I didn't know about the half siblings. So this is something new.
Yeah. See, I did find something you didn't know.
Okay. Yes.
This is like little quick trigger warning. She's talked about this. She's talked about this on her show. She was molested at the age of 9 by a cousin, a family member, an uncle. Like, she talks about this in a 1986 episode when she deals of Oprah. Well, you know, cut to eventually she does have an Oprah show, just in case you didn't know, if you were living under a rock, she ultimately does well. So,
yes,
it is alleged. I've alleged. I don't know what's been proven, what's not. I think it's all still alleged. She confronted them when she was 24 and they denied it. So around 13,
kid's just going to make that up.
Kids are not. No one wants.
Yeah. If a kid I know in my family came to me and was like, you abused me when I was a kid, I'd be like, what? A, it's like, let's talk about this.
I would get hypnotherapist.
Because I know I would never
do
that.
Right.
Yeah. And I'd be like, well, we as a family got to sit down because that might be misremembered. And like, and then just like, what else is going on? Like, yeah, I wouldn't be like,
you
but
must
yeah, it's
have
always
mixed
the
me up with
too.
Somebody else, but obviously something must have happened to you or, you know, I don't know.
I also wonder, do they really think kids just forget being molested? I really think they think that's what's going to happen.
Yes. That they'll get over it.
Yeah. Get over it. Yeah. Yeah.
Bullshit. Hmm. So she runs away from home at 13. At 14, she finds herself pregnant. Now, her son was born prematurely and died shortly after he was born. Now, I think we only know this because a family member in 1990 sold that as a story to the National Enquirer. And she felt utterly betrayed. As well she should.
Yeah.
Can't you just go to her and be like, I need $2,000. Get $2,000.
I mean, it could be one of those things where that family member's asked and she's given and given and given. And it's like, well, you know, you still got to work for a living. Yeah. I'm not just going to be taking care of you.
Oh, that could be. That could be like.
You know, it's like, I want to help you, but at some point you got to get a job. Like, you know.
Like, why don't I buy you a house and then we'll move on.
Yeah, and who knows? She may have even bought her house, and she still. Some people get very entitled to your money.
I've never had a family member that could like buy me a house outright, and then I still wanted more money. I wonder what that's like.
People have no shame. I can only imagine the things that, like, yeah. So, oh wow.
So she attends Lincoln Middle and high school in Milwaukee. But she had early success in the Upward Bound program. So she was transferred to an affluent suburban high school called Nicolet. And it was odd for her because she had to take the bus to school. And she'd be taking the bus with kids who were also Black, but servants in her friends' houses. She began to rebel. And she began to steal money from her mother in an effort to, like, keep up with the Joneses, if you will. And her mom was like, nope, absolutely not. So sent her to live with her father. But this time she stayed with her dad.
Okay.
And that actually turned out
probably
to be
for the best.
Kind of a good thing. Like, definitely a good thing.
Because he can keep track of her better. Sounds like her mom was overwhelmed. And
I think she was. She had a lot of kids. Yeah. She was working all the time. Her dad was like, education's priority. You have no choice. So she began doing well. She was an honor student. She was voted most popular girl. She joined her high school speech team at East Nashville High School, placing second in the nation in dramatic interpretation, which if anyone has ever seen The Color Purple, the original movie, you will understand why she should have gotten first. That's what I'm saying about that. Okay. You know, she dates a little. There's a boy named Anthony. Then they broke up. We don't have to get into it. Who cares? And then, sorry, Anthony. I know you liked her a lot.
I'm sure Anthony's doing fine. Yeah.
Right? You know, she's like, yeah, I'll cut you a check. It's fine. Her first job as a teenager was working at a local grocery store. At 17, she won the Miss Black Tennessee Beauty Pageant. This attracted the attention of a local Black radio station, WVOL, and they hired her to do the news part-time. She worked there.
Yeah, people forget Oprah is a banger. She's a 10. Like, she a dime piece. Like, Oprah, even today, Oprah got them hips and the boobies and the badonkadonk. Oprah's been blessed with the badonkadonk.
Listen, like, and none of those drugs stop that badonkadonk. Well done, no. Oprah. But, you know, she has people. Yeah, she has people to make sure Oprah's all kinds been, of
people
things
forget.
Happen.
I think because of the weight struggles, public struggles with weight. And when she first came on the air, she was, you know, plumper, but Oprah dime piece. So like, I think people forgetting Oprah dime piece. So.
They're just jealous. But also really smart. Like, she can do it all. She was like, not only did I win this, not only am I more beautiful than all of you, but I can speak clearer than all of you too.
Yes, I can be, you know,
my brain place is better.
Yeah.
Exactly. So she worked there during her senior year and her first 2 years of college. So she won an oratory contest, right? Oratory, where you speak, which secured her a full scholarship to Tennessee State University, which is a historically Black institution. And she studied communication. Now, fun fact, she did not deliver her final paper to get her diploma until 1987. 1987 was like prime Oprah, run home from school, watch Oprah at 4 o'clock. Okay.
Yeah, she's a big deal.
Yeah. So then she dates a boy named Bubba. It's fine.
I remember her talking about Bubba.
Yeah, it was her first like very like intense. Like, she had like very...
That is so country. Bubba.
Bubba. Bubba. I love you, Bubba.
You got all kinds of Black and white Bubbas all over the South. Bubba.
That is a fact. Yeah.
It's a very country name. Southern name.
So that happened. She was working local media. She was the youngest news anchor and the first Black female news anchor in Nashville's WLAC-TV, where she covered the same stories as John Tesh. Okay. Oh. Right? He worked at a competing Nashville station. Okay.
Now, I didn't know that.
Right? Uh-huh. She and Taylor broke up. Bubba. They broke up. Bubba. He wouldn't move with her to Baltimore. Where she moved in 1976 to co-anchor the 6 o'clock news. Is a really like intense breakup. I'll talk about that more, about her relationships with men, complicatedness. So in 1976, she moves there to co-anchor the 6 o'clock news. In 1977, she was removed as co-anchor and worked in lower profile positions in the station. Now, do you have any idea why they would pull a Black woman from co-anchoring news to doing lower positional things?
Is this when they pressured her to change her hairstyle and her looks?
Yeah. I think so. So
all those people are like, why do Black women wear wigs and weaves? And it's like, because they literally would be like, you cannot wear your natural hair.
Because their natural hair is illegal in this country. Yeah. That is why, Karen.
Especially in what, 77? Yeah. Even though you would think it's the height of Black power, but they're also associating that with the radical youth movement.
Yeah.
So,
like, why? Because their hair is their hair? Oh. Because
their hair is their hair.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Shelley. Pull it in. I'm just making up names here. Okay. So then she was recruited to join Richard Scherr as co-host of WJZ's local talk show, People Are Talking, which premiered August 14th, 1978. She also hosted the local version of Dialing for Dollars. Okay. So she got some shit for crying on air while reporting tragedies. And they didn't like her physical appearance. So they didn't want her feeling things or looking like herself. That sounds right.
Basically.
That sounds like America. That's the America.
All the
I know.
Things that gave Oprah her superpower later on.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
And she turned to apparently like she had a thing with Lloyd Kramer, who was a reporter. And she was like, a quote from her, that man was the most fun romance I ever had. I like that.
Oh,
okay.
Okay. Excuse me, Oprah.
Then, okay. Also in the 70s, she had a romantic relationship with John Tesh. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And according to biographer Kitty Kelly, which I got from Wikipedia, so take it as you will, he broke up with her because the interracial thing freaked him out.
Yeah, because it's in the 70s,
people. It's the 70s, yeah.
Yeah.
And then she like had a married man affair for a couple of years.
Of course, just making all, looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yes, yes. And then she talks about that. I'm not going into detail. There's like a lot of detail you can find.
There's a lot, yeah,
right?
For Oprah.
But
yeah.
She credits the like her issues with these relationships and the choices she made as attributing factor to her weight problem later on.
I could see that. Yeah.
And so that, you know, and then you can look at those relationships that she was kind of creating in a way based on her childhood, which did not give her that support that she needed. She didn't really have, you know, until later, until her father in high school, but those super early formative years, you know.
And I think she said that she was an emotional eater because so a lot of emotions going on here.
A lot of emotions, you know? Going on. Yeah. For real. Okay, so then in 1984, she relocates to Chicago to host WLS's TV's low-rated half-hour morning talk show, AM Chicago. So within months, I love this part. This is my favorite part. The show went from last place to overtaking Donahue as the highest-rated talk show in Chicago. Okay.
Yep.
Yes. So Roger Ebert, who P.S. she had a thing with, they were together for a minute. Did you know? I didn't learn this.
I did know that because he gave her the advice about distributing.
Are you going to say syndication deal with King World?
Yes.
Because that's what I was about to say, too. Yeah. And she was like, and he was like, this show is going to be even better than my show at the movies. You are correct, sir. You were correct. Well done. Okay. The first episode was broadcast nationwide on September 8th, 1986. The show brought in double Donahue's national audience. Double. Okay.
And I think people need to realize, like, it's like that was unheard of. Like, even her own boss was like, I believe in you, but, you know, obviously we're not going to be Donahue, but we're happy with number two.
Right.
Yeah.
And she was like, out of my way. Hold my beer. Yes. And they dropped that beer in awe. Okay. So, and then she started dating Stedman in 1986 too. Stedman Graham. I mean, I'm assuming that if you're listening to this, you know about Oprah and Stedman. They've been together forever. I think they're still together.
Yeah.
They were engaged and in 1992 and then called off the marriage, but they're still together. Okay.
Yeah, that's some old school black stuff too. It's like, we just together. We don't need the papers.
I see it. And I respect it. My thing is like, have a party. But like, Oprah has several parties. So it's not my advice to Oprah. Oprah does not need my advice.
Yeah. And there's a lot of people who have the paper and the marriage. The relationship is not a good one.
I
so,
know. The paper doesn't define your marriage. It does define if they'll let you sit by their side in a hospital. It does define.
Yeah. And
then, you know.
Yeah. They don't have that issue, Oprah and Stedman, because And depending
I'm
on the
Oprah,
state you're in, you have
like,
common law.
Yes. Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Too.
You have common laws too. So
That's true. Okay. So originally the show was considered a tabloid talk show. Which cracks me up because I definitely watched it at the age of 10. Like, what was I watching?
Everybody was watching those
shows. We were
all
watching it. I was like, what's a hooker? You know, I found out today on the Oprah show. But it was great. There was something very compelling about, like, there was a humanity to it, you know?
Yeah. And she was just like, I mean, Oprah is a star. Like, even, you know, as plus size, the black woman that they had, you know, America's used to plus size black women, but not in that context. She was very articulate. She sounded, quote unquote, like a white lady.
Yes.
You know, and she was in charge of the show. And so that was such an unusual thing. But she also brought all the stuff that, like I was saying, I was only joking, half joking, all the stuff that is her superpower that Donahue could not replicate.
Yeah.
She had it in an abundance. And so she was very compelling. And then you could relate to her. She's very relatable.
And I have to say, Donahue was actually really, really cool about it. From what I've heard.
I think everybody was so shocked. Everybody, including her, because she was just like, I'm just happy I got this opportunity. Because traditional news is not for me, but I get to really like do human stories and talk to people because she's a talker, like
that's
you
she
and
is.
I. Yeah. That's who she is. And it's like it all played to all her strengths. And but yeah, Donahue, you're right, because now we know how some straight cis white men, it can go very, 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 very wrong and they can just be terrible. And he
supported
her. He was just like, oh, this is good.
I think he was an early supporter of gay rights too, like in the 80s.
Oh, I didn't know that about him.
Yeah, I think so. Like, don't come at me if I'm wrong, but I think so. I think he tried to humanize, because it's the 80s, AIDS crisis, right? I think he tried to humanize it. But let's get back to the woman, because we're a woman podcast. Okay. So she started in the mid 90s getting more serious. She would have, you know, talking about cancer and substance abuse. She talked about, you know, her giveaways was a big thing. Like it stopped being like the other shows, right?
Yeah, it definitely changed the tone.
And then she started, and this is where I'm like, girl, did we need Dr. Oz? Dr.
In her defense, she did not know Dr. Oz was terrible.
Yeah, and in my defense, when the show had Dr. Oz on it, I was so excited.
We were like, oh, he's giving us this stuff. Oh, and this is great.
Now I feel real bad because he was promoting basically false science. So there was a lot of, and he was encouraging like miracle pills and things to like, he's really kind
of. Was he doing
of,
that on the show or was he doing it after
end,
he got his own show? Okay.
I think too, like they wanted her to negate him. They said, can you please, you know, he's not great. Also Dr. Phil, honestly, like I loved a Dr. Phil episode.
I love his Foghorn Leghorn isms just as much as if it's a dog and if it don't holler, that don't mean it's gonna drink the water. Whatever he would say. Like it's like
whatever
I love a Dr.
Texas.
Phil ism. Like, it's like what?
But I also like I happen to know through someone, like I worked with someone years and years ago whose mother had to like go to interview him, and he was a big old nut. That's the story. It's hearsay. And it's a legend.
Well, I've heard that when people, because for people who don't know, these Dr. Oz, Iyanla Van Zandt, Dr. Phil all started on her show as like guests. Sylvia Brown used to be on there. Like people who would be on her show, and she would basically dedicate a show to them. Now I realize because she was exhausted because they would shoot like three shows a day.
That's what it was. And they would, I think she needed a minute. And I think it was like, oh, health. Oh, mental health. Oh, talk
to deaf
people.
But it's also, she gave these.
Cool.
It also gave these people a lot of opportunities to that, you know, was produced through Harpo Productions to give their own platform, which a lot of people, that's normal now, but that wasn't normal then.
No. And she was, like in her defense, she was trying to help. Like now in retrospect.
Yeah, she really
like,
was trying to help.
Oof. Yeah. Maybe celery juice is bad. Now, she wasn't the celery juice person. I know that. But
can you imagine what she's thinking? She was like, what was I smoking? Like,
but listen, how many stupid ass diets did we go on in our 20s? Come on. Like,
but also how people just switch up on you. Like the whole Dr. Oz thing, I think the way he's turned out to be just awful. I think a lot of us are surprised.
I mean, he was anti-vax. Like he was.
I know. Yeah. You're like, dude, you. It's in the title, Dr. Oz. Like, what is going on?
I mean, what are you doing? So there was that. And so she's gotten some heat for that, which, you know.
Yeah, of course. Which, you know, she can take it. So
she can take it. And of course, she has a best friend, Gail. They've been best friends since their 20s. I didn't remember this, but apparently. Okay, so Oprah Winfrey played the therapist in the episode of Ellen when Ellen comes out as a lesbian. And ever since then, that's what started the rumors that her and Gail are like lesbians. And Oprah is like, there's a quote from Oprah. I understand why people think we're gay. There isn't a definition in our culture for this kind of bond between women. So I get why people have to label it. How can you be this close without being sexual? I've told nearly everything there is to tell. All my stuff is out there. People think I'd be so ashamed of being gay that I wouldn't admit it. Oh, please. Yes, girl.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Oh, I didn't know that's where that rumor came from.
I didn't either.
It's like, at a certain point, I'm like, I feel like Oprah would come out. Her and Gail would come out.
Yeah. No, I know, right? They could get married. They could have a lavish wedding.
Yeah. And it'd be awesome.
It would, like, I would watch it from my television screen.
Yes.
100%. Yes.
Absolutely.
But she's like, but I'm not a lesbian, or I'd be a lesbian, you know?
I think it's a compliment, because sometimes people think I am too. And I'm like, I wish I were attracted
people,
to women.
The second women you're not with someone, they think you're a lesbian. I had that in like college, because I don't have a boyfriend right now. You think I'm a lesbian? My hair is short, so now I'm a lesbian. Like, and it's fine if I am. Like, don't be an ass. But like,
yeah,
I don't have to be attached to anyone or anything in order for my sexuality to be what it is.
But I always tell them, it's like, don't threaten me with a good time. Listen, if I could... Wake up. If it worked that way, where you just wake up gay, I would have done that long time ago.
Once again, gay is not a choice. Thank you very much.
Exactly.
Thank you for playing. So,
and we love the ladies, but absolutely. I'd be like, let's do this, girl. Me and my lady be chilling. Okay. We'd be married and chilling. Okay. With our dogs.
I used to think I might be a lesbian, and here's why. I imagined what it would be like to be a man, because I didn't realize girls could be gay. So I was like, so it turns out if I were a man, I would be gay because I like men. And that is the That's why we need to just be open about what things are, because you're confusing
children.
But
also, that's why children are so wonderful
and stupid.
They're stupid and smart at the same time.
That's fine. So I skipped like a whole bunch of things.
They can find it. There's a lot
they
on
can
Oprah.
Find it. She started Harpo Productions. Which is her name spelled backwards. Yes.
Yeah.
She was like amazing in The Color Purple. She was nominated for an Oscar. She should have won it. She was
Killing Dead is her thing.
What did you say?
Killing Dead is that comes from her character, Sophia in The Color Purple. Yeah.
Harpo,
who plays her husband. Her husband's character's name is Harpo in The Color Purple.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh,
I saw it so many years ago. I'm still crying.
It's a rough one.
It's a rough one.
So good,
but
though.
But it's so good. So good. She's produced and starred in the film Beloved. It didn't do as well because racism. I mean, I'm just
assuming.
And
I actually liked it.
It's good.
I actually liked it.
It was really good. We just, one black movie a decade is all America can handle. There's more. I'm not going to get into everything, but I will say that the National Museum of African American History and Culture in Washington, D.C. in 2018 opened a special exhibit for Oprah Winfrey's cultural influence through television. Yes.
Absolutely. Yep. All of the greats, like Shonda Rhimes, another powerhouse woman that we love. You think of her, she was raised on Oprah.
Yeah.
So, think about that. Like she, because also, and it's so funny because when Oprah came out, then they were looking for other versions of trying to replicate it. And also famously, Barbara Walters created The View.
Yes.
Because first she was, I think Barbara Walters was I forget who she produced. It was kind of like an Oprah. She was trying to find her Oprah, right?
Okay.
And then there was a little tension between them because Barbara Walters is Oprah's idol. She was, she famously said, I would look at Barbara Walters and the way she would sit and hold her hands.
Oh,
I was totally trying to copy that. I mean, Barbara Walters is a legend and she's inspired so many other women, but Barbara Walters is her legend. So and then there's this thing, whenever black people have success, white people always tend to think, I'll just get another black person and create the same thing. It's like, no, that person's actually quite special.
I don't understand.
Not just because she's black.
They're black. And so I'll get another black person. That's how that works,
That's how Rolanda. I don't know if you remember Rolanda.
I remember Rolanda. Yes, I was just thinking her. When you said they tried to recreate it, I was like, I know. I can see her now. That did not last.
But Oprah is, and a long time ago, Full disclosure, I used to be a model back in the day.
Yeah, she did.
And I actually modeled for O Magazine. And I remember being on the set and we were all teasing around. We were like sitting around teasing. And I remember the artistic director was like, he was like, Oprah who? I was like, oh, no. There's only one Oprah. There's only ever one Oprah.
Yes. So basically, I just talked about you. You're basically Oprah. Listen, you modeled and you were in O Magazine. Then you are, by the way, she had a magazine. I wrote that down. But there's just like, we could go on for days. Days, I tell you.
I'm Oprah. I'm a child of Oprah, as millions of us are. Yeah. So, you know, that's why they have the Oprah effect. Yeah, there's a ton of stuff like the facts that you want. But why did you choose her to be your notorious woman this week?
I feel like that's a leading question and I'm not sure. I mean,
let me put on my Barbara Walters Oprah Winfrey hat.
No, I mean, part
so,
of
Miriam,
because I feel like
Miriam, let me ask you, Miriam.
Oh my God. That was so good.
But you know what's so funny? Because we didn't realize there's like this TikTok, it's called a newscaster TikTok, where they talk about how like, no, they actually go to school. They get training to talk like news anchors.
Oh.
There's actually they demonstrate it. Like they're talking normally and then they'll be like, and here and on tonight on da-da-da-da. And then like the register, their voice changes and they go into that newscaster voice.
Oh my God.
Tonight on da-da-da-da. And I'm like, oh my God, there's totally like a way that anchors are like trained.
I want that training. No, yeah. I was watching her episode about Ozempic or whatever that actual drug is. And I feel like I felt like we were losing sight of what she's done for the world. Like, you know what I mean? And I don't like Dr. Oz, and I think some of the things were, you know, but that's also going to happen when you are that big and that powerful.
And people make mistakes. Like, yeah. I think that one thing I've always admired about Oprah is that I feel like she's the first person to be like, my bad. Like, I think in the special, she talks about how like long time ago when she lost weight and she pulled the fat out, famously pulled the fat out on the wagon. It's like, I've lost this much weight. And she was like, I cannot believe I do that. I did that. And she's like, literally the very next hour that day, I started gaining weight because I started eating again.
Yeah, because she was like, she literally had to starve herself.
She literally had to starve herself. And I feel like that's what I admire about her. And actually, I feel like what's so great about her, other than like all the positive things or even people want to say the negative things, like what I like about her is that she made it okay to make mistakes in public and to try and make amends publicly, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like that's where her show turned into woo woo, whatever, you know, metaphysics, spirituality. But like, she was the first person to be like, I feel like, public person who was that famous on her level to be like, yeah, I made a mistake 10 years ago.
Like, I think it's really interesting. I didn't talk about, she has a book club and she had James Frey, who wrote an autobiography.
Yep.
And he apparently, so she like lauded it. It got number one, did really well. Then it came to that he lied for much of it, or for some of it, or for an alleged portion of it.
He said it was nonfiction and it was fiction. It was a work of fiction.
Right.
And that's what I mean. Like,
she had him back on the show and she then berated him. And then she was, you know, she was castigated for shaming him. And then she went back and said, I'm sorry. I think I did go too far. You're right. But I felt duped, but I shouldn't have gone so far. Like she kind of keeps a conversation going.
Yes.
In that way. Yes. And for that, because we all need to do that. We need to be allowed to fuck it up and make amends
and say, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
She made it cool. So these bullshit apologies that people give, we know that that's not appropriate, because we've actually seen people like Oprah. And I think she's inspired other people at her level. Cause I think when you get a certain level, you're on top of the world in a lot of ways.
Yes.
I think a lot of people, cause you do have a lot of people coming at you and making things your issue that is not your issue.
Yeah.
Like with the Dr. Oz thing. And it's like, my bad. I kind of have to take responsibility, cause I gave him a platform, not knowing he was terrible, but at that level, people are not going to reveal that they're terrible to you. You know, Paula Deen, she used to like profile and prop up Paula Deen. And it turns out Paula Deen, which as a Southerner, I was not surprised at all. She's an old white lady from the South. Mm. Of course, she's used the N-word very, very freely in her life. But Oprah still gave her a chance. And I'm sure Oprah was aware of that. But then when that stuff came out, Paula Deen's own, like, you know, controversy, then we're like, oh, so can you imagine being her? You're trying to help somebody. And then like, you're like, this motherfucker duped me over and over and over again. And like, but that comes with the territory of being that powerful too.
It does.
For that long.
It does. Yeah.
Right. These other celebrities of her caliber and her level, I think they go through this in private. You know, but now with social media, nothing could be private.
But I think the fact that she was on TV opposite Donahue in the 80s, for me as a kid, like I grew up confused as to why anyone would be racist. And I think that she lent that energy into the zeitgeist. She made it unclear because what does it matter? Does that make sense? That's like not very well articulated.
It also reminds me like of her legacy is like what we were talking about at the top of this episode. Like you look at old movies that you might love, like It's a Wonderful Life, and you're like, ooh, that does not age well.
Right.
But if a person has a long career, like she's been in since the 80s. So what is that?
40 something years.
She's been living her life publicly for 40 something years. There's going to be some stuff you go back to her show and you're like, oh, that did not age well. But I feel like if you're 20, you don't understand that we were living in a different time, even just from the 90s.
Yeah,
right. Like,
yes.
Like the 90s are so fucked up. Even it reminds me of that, the whole Britney thing and like Cry Me a River, Justin Timberlake and But if you live through that, you remember how that was categorized. And we didn't know what was going on behind the scenes because people were a lot more private.
Yes.
Because social media did not exist. And so it annoys me on Twitter sometimes. Oprah would be trending for stuff that she ain't got nothing to do with or like is tertiary. But somehow like Weinstein came out. They were like, Oprah knows something. Diddy, the whole Diddy thing. Oprah knows something. It's like, yeah, she's a rich, famous person hanging out with other rich, famous people. And I always tell people about Harvey Weinstein. I'm like, everybody who was somebody has a picture with Harvey Weinstein Hollywood.
Oh, yeah.
Diddy, everybody, no one, it's not like Oprah's like, oh, bringing him girls, women to abuse.
Exactly.
No one knows that's going on, people. Even if you hear rumors, because also famous people, you hear rumors of her and Gail being in a relationship, right? You hear that rumors, but a lot of famous people know that rumors doesn't mean that it's true.
Yeah.
Because they've had rumors about them that are not true.
People are bored.
I know. But I just get annoyed because I'm like, so they're just trying to make all this issue Oprah. And again, I'm not, I think that she's faltered in a lot of ways, but I just feel like it's also misogynistic a lot of ways, lot of times, because I feel like men get a lot of leeway when they are like actively abusing people. Like, I feel like the way people handled Ellen, like, you know, coming out and it turns out it's not her abusing people. It's the people that are working for her. Like, well, she should know. And it's like, no, that's why you hire when you're that big and famous. You hire a lot of people. And yeah, you do have to. You're like, it happened under my watch. And I feel like Oprah's the type of person to be like, oh, this happened under my watch. This is unacceptable. Like her school in South Africa.
Yes.
There was some controversy around that. And she's like, I'm so embarrassed because my whole point is to protect these girls.
I didn't even talk about her school in South Africa.
Yeah.
That's like, how many lives
the leadership
she's
school.
Lived. Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah.
So I think that she, barring that it comes out that Oprah's an alien that has been harvesting humans for her home planet. I think we can, you know.
Yeah, we can like her. We can call her notorious in a positive way.
Yeah.
We like can do it. I think, you know, you and I are journalists and we've analyzed the situation. Hashtag we're not actually journalists. Thank you.
No, we're not.
Nor are we hashtag not historians. But yeah,
for me, other than obviously she's a Southern Black woman and, you know, that's my sister and But for me, she made it okay to talk about difficult things in my life and in my family. Yeah. But also, I feel like she is, again, one thing Oprah's taught us, not only empathy, but it's okay to make mistakes and then apologize, even at her level.
Let us learn from her. Let us all, in this upcoming election year, learn from her.
Yes. Get on vote. Yeah.
But, go vote blue. You know. Just blue down the line. Just blue down the line. All right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
We're not making no bones about it. Just because that motherfucker got to get up out of here.
Yep. Kick him. Kick him where it hurts.
Kick him to the curb and then we can regroup later.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll regroup. I know. We got some problems. We always have problems.
Oh, yeah.
Though.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And our problems will not disappear overnight. No. But we have an opportunity to prevent even bigger problems from happening.
We keep that was me. I was the one who lent the conversation towards politics. Sorry, my bad.
With Oprah, I meant to say this and I have forgotten, but for me, she represents the ultimate black girl joy.
Yes.
Because they be trying, because Oprah ain't online like that. They be trying to like tie every terrible thing to her. And Oprah is on her island somewhere under her big ass oak tree at her home and in where does she live? It's in California.
Oh, there's thing about she lives in everywhere. She has houses kind of everywhere, but like Santa Barbara-ish, Montecito.
Santa Barbara-ish, Maui.
She also has a house in Maui, you know?
And I think she has one probably in Chicago. Like, yep. Oprah just be like living her best life, enjoying her money and helping people. That's another thing. She's always up helping people and highlighting people, giving people opportunities. She's donated because, you know, occasionally you'll have people be like, Oprah ain't done enough for black people. And it's like, yeah, because she's donated all this money to the HBCUs, to non-HBCUs. She's donated all this money to help these black men, you know, because they'll love to be like, oh, but don't like black men. And it's like, she's been with one for a long, long time.
I was like, really?
And Stedman
is black.
Yeah. Like, but it's like, she's been around for so long, not everybody comes out and announces when they do charity. Like, you don't know what people are doing.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, if Oprah is listening, she is welcome to come help us, okay?
I mean, I've met her, in the last, 7 years? I met her, and I could not even... I got to ask her a question at a conference.
Oh, my God.
And her and Ava DuVernay, who is probably basically her adopted stepchild at this point.
For real, yeah.
And I almost could not keep it together to ask my question, because I was like, I cannot believe I'm asking Oprah a question, and... I could tell she was just like, get it out. Oh my God. But
I'm like crying for you right now. That's so exciting.
It's just like, but I just love my favorite thing. And I wish they had continued it I'll let you wrap up is her. Remember when her and Gail went on the road trip?
Yes, I do.
That was my favorite thing, because then you realize you're like, Oprah's been rich, very, very rich, 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 rich for a long time. Gail's been rich for a long time, Oprah's been rich for a long time. But also when they go out, because Gail talks to everybody, just like Oprah, that's why they're friends.
Yeah.
But when they go out, Gail will go and come back with people. And she doesn't realize, because she's just being Gail. She's being so sweet. And Oprah's just like, oh God, I got engaged. Because it takes a lot of energy, which she had when she was 30. But she no longer has.
It's different now.
At 60 something. She's just like, Gail, stop bringing people to talk to me. But that was like my favorite thing. I love watching them on the road. And Oprah's like, I want to travel in silence. Gail's like, silence? Who drives in silence? What is wrong with you? I love it. Just being girlfriends.
I know. I love them. That's very honest, too. All right.
Yeah.
That is all I'm going to say about Oprah today. But if people are listening and they have Oprah stories or Oprah thoughts, please tell us them. You can DM us. You can talk to us on the Instagram, right? I want to hear it. And I want to hear stories and thoughts.
And don't just troll us. I mean, you can troll us and we might engage, but I got the receipts. So if you're going to troll us, come with receipts, okay? And not just speculation.
Right?
All right.
But we could talk. Like, go ahead. Make it public. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, on that note, that wraps it up for another episode of Notorious Women Podcast. Like Miriam said, go to IG, follow us. Actually, if you could go to the Apple Store and like us and leave us a review, that will help tremendously. That'll help people find us. If you have a notorious woman you want us to cover, send that along. You can do that on IG. I'll let Miriam tell you about the email. But also, if you want to support the show, please, with some moolah, with some cash. If you know Oprah and she want to give us a donation, she can do that.
Yes,
please. Patreon.com/notorious women, and Patreon is spelled patreon.com/notorious women.
You did it. You spelled it right. Our Instagram, our TikTok, and our YouTube channel is all Notorious Women Podcast. You can follow us there. Like the things that we post. And if you want to talk to us, you can talk to us there as well. And that is all.
And guys, thank you so much for listening to us every week. We really appreciate it. Copy the link, send it to your friends. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.